This morning we're going to be looking in Colossians chapter 3, and we come to a portion of scripture, Colossians chapter 3 verse 18, that primarily talks about marriage and talks about the marriage relationship. And I hope that that it will be encouraging to you, and I pray that it will be teaching to us. While you're focusing on Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read Jesus' words to a group of people asking him questions about divorce, all right? And I want you to just listen to these words, but first I'd like to pray. Father, I thank you, God, that you are God, and we hear news like we've heard about Carol Sadler, and I'm thankful, Lord, that in the years we knew her, she trusted in Christ. We haven't seen her recently. But Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. And I pray for Zach Gallivan and for all the other brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, that you would be their foundation and the rock upon which they stand. Their family's gone through a lot of loss. They lost some pillars way back in Kirk and Lois Countryman. And Lord, it is so important that we pass the baton well, pass the baton of faith, that we help our children become grounded in believing and knowing and trusting and following God. And help us, Lord, as Rollins said, in these days that are like a tornado, help families to be deeply rooted in Christ. And when we talk about marriage, Lord, today we're going to talk about the word submission. And I ask you, Lord, to help us think more deeply about submission and how it really is the heart of our relationship with you. So, God, I pray that you would bless the words of Scripture as we read. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, just kind of an introduction, but the people were questioning about divorce. Is it right to divorce? And so on. And they were asking honest questions, and they're questions that people still ask today. But in Mark chapter 10, Jesus responds. Listen closely to these words. They're not on the screen. Jesus said, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That couldn't be more clear. God's statement. Therefore, Jesus quoting Moses in Genesis, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so we have in this Mark passage God's clear instruction and establishment of marriage, of his creation, man and woman. Our world is absolutely upside down in thinking about men and women, husbands and wives, and God is crystal clear on what he designed and what he established. Do you agree? We do. And so we have that as kind of an introduction to our passage in Colossians chapter 3. So now if you would turn there. And we have gone through Colossians up to this point, and we come to verse 18. And I'd like to have you stand with me as we read and honor God's word to read. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, and this would be to all of us, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And I'd like to say, in all of these relationships, this sentence is true. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray, God, that you would teach us from it. And Lord, that we would be honest about ourselves, that we would not try to justify rebellious, defiant behavior in our lives. Father, I pray that you would help us understand this idea of submission as we think about it today. God, please be our teacher, all of us, in all of our souls, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I'd like to, I'd just like to say that submission, and we'll see this more, but submission is what God has called every person in this church and every person in the world and every person in his body to. He has called us to be submissive. And we'll look at more about that. I'd like to go back and just kind of a summary of Colossians chapter 3. Just some phrases out of the chapter. This Colossians 3 is about your relationship with Christ, your relationship with your Savior. First of all, it begins, since you have been raised with Christ. And so if you have believed and you have trusted and you are following Christ, then this is true of you. Since you have been raised with Christ. And so we're hoping, and it's my prayer, that you are a Christian. You're a Christ follower. You've believed and you've trusted in Christ, and now you obey and you serve him. The second thing, seek those things which are above. And I'm going to point out a lot of phrases that have to do with submission. Okay? So in this simple phrase, seek the things that are above. What do human beings have trouble with? What do we tend to seek? Everything that's around us. Earthly things. And so this is a place where you, as a follower of Christ, can exercise your submission to God. God says, seek the things that are above. And so then you have a decision to make. Are you going to submit to that and seek those things that are above? Every day, that is your challenge. The third phrase, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now we're to set our mind. We're to think about things. We're to meditate on things. Set your mind on things above, the promises of God, the truth of God. And then a statement of fact. When you came to Christ, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a blessed place to be for us. Amazing place for you and I to live. You have died, your life is hidden with Christ. And then this promise, the reward is Christ, with whom you will soon appear in glory. And what a great promise that is about either your death or Christ's return or the rapture of the church, however you are in his presence, there is a reward coming. And frankly, you don't have to determine your reward by gaining earthly things. Where is your reward? It's in heaven. So stop seeking rewards here. Seek your reward in heaven. The next phrase, put to death what is earthly. Think about the word submission. If God says, put to death what is earthly, what's our job? Submit to this truth and put those things to death. Right? That would be submitting. You'd be submitting to God by putting to death the things that are tearing you down, the things that are holding you back. The next phrase, it says, we used to live in sin. This is a kind of a summary. We used to live in sin, immorality, anger. That was our old self. The next part of the summary, put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So to submit to God and his lordship in your life, it says, put on the new self. So think about who you are in Christ. What is your identity in Christ? Be actively putting on the things that God says in his word about you. Also, put on, as God's chosen ones, these things. Kindness, meekness, forgiveness, love, and there's a whole list, compassion, and so on. It says that we're to be putting on those things. All right, and then the next thing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and we spoke a lot about that last Sunday, but to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you need to be practicing being in the word, reading the word, and I am finding that when difficult things face me or challenge me or are presented to me, I'll tell you what, sometimes the challenge is big and your strength is going to be the depth in which you're in the Word of God. That is where your strength is going to be, because you're going to be hit over and over and over again. And you're going to be hit by hard and difficult things. And your strength is in the depth within which you're in the Word. I don't know where you're reading in the Bible. I don't know if you're reading in the Gospels, or you're reading in Paul's letters, or you're reading through the Old Testament, or some of all of those things. But make a plan. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then the next phrase, encouraging one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Think about your home and think about the things that you have regularly playing in your home, the television that you watch, the songs that you listen to, the shows that you watch. What is the regular thing that is nurturing or watering the plant of your faith? And I'll tell you guys, the truth of encouraging one another. Do you need encouragement?
Yes.
Every day, all the time. Every hour, every minute. Encourage one another. Jim, how do you encourage Willie June? How do you encourage your spouse? It says encouraging one another with singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're meditating on those things and you're thinking about them and you're humming them and you're rehearsing them in your mind. You're meditating on those things. Encouraging one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, you are submitting to God. You're being a faithful follower of God when you do this. And when you don't do this, you're not submitting to God. He wants you saturated. He says, kind of a capstone, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And that is a huge statement of submission. Whatever you do, do it, another phrase says, as unto the Lord. That's to be our motivation. Now let's go to the next slide. I'd like to think about submission And I just wrote, think of submission as a humble attitude toward God and authority. And we know in many places in Scripture, we're called to be submissive. I think of Romans 13, where it says that we're to be submissive to leaders. I love these telephone rings. They're just all these different ones. Maybe just put your phones on silent. So think of submission as a humble attitude toward God. God, you are my Savior. God, you are my Lord. God, you are my Master. And I submit to you. So what word comes to mind immediately if I said, what's the opposite of submitting? Lord, I submit to you. What would be the opposite?
Rebellion.
I'm sorry?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. Did you say defiance? Defiance is actually the specific word that's the opposite of submission, to be defiant. So I was just thinking about simple things. How do you respond when you hear the phrase, be submissive? Now, in this passage of Scripture where it said, wives, submit to your husband, there's just a negative context that often pops in people's minds, maybe in women's minds more than men, when we say the phrase, wives, be submissive to your husband. Here's what I want to submit to you. God calls us, all of us, to be submissive all the time. It is just God's way. Children, be submissive to your parents. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Christians, be submissive to God. The whole environment for the Christian faith is an environment of submission. It is yielding to someone else in authority. So I thought of these simple things. You know, what time do you arrive at work? Whatever time you're supposed to be there, right? At least you shoot for it. Hopefully you're not late. What time do you arrive at work? You're submissive to that responsibility, right? If you're a good employee, you submit to that responsibility and you show up, maybe even you're a few minutes early. Secondly, what time do you arrive at school, students? You arrive before the bell, so you don't get a tardy slip or whatever. However that works, you arrive when you're supposed to be there. That's a submissive response. How fast do you drive on the road? Now, this one's probably got a little bit of, people. So the question is, how submissive are you? Yeah, you know what truth is? To the core, we are rebellious. And that is the sinful condition and why we need the mercy of God. Yes? We're getting there, and the answer is yes, they do.
We're getting there.
Yep. Because submissive is really the environment that God has put all of us as God followers in. We are submissive. By what date do you file your tax return? You know, and if you don't, you file an extension, right? You have a responsibility to get your tax. When do you pay your mortgage? You know, you have a date. You are submissive to that date. Why do you stay faithful in your marriage? You stay faithful in your marriage, you're submissive to that responsibility. Why do you purpose to obey Christ in your daily life? Because you want to be submissive to Christ. We are surrounded, and God has established submission. We are to be submissive people. So, is submission a positive or negative concept? Every part of life has rules. Every part of life has guidelines, and you submit to them. You do. You do submit to them. And when you don't, what happens? All kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble. All kinds of turmoil comes about if you don't submit. Why do you submit to these things? It's right. It's the right thing to do. It is respectful to others. It is honorable to be submissive. It is obedient. It keeps order. It is respectful to other people. It allows us, a submissive group of people, to get along and be productive. And we want to be productive. Being submissive is not a negative idea. It's a positive idea. Now, as you said, Bob, the opposite of submission is defiance. It is rebellion, and its ugly fruit is pride and arrogance. And how is it to be in the presence of people who are proud and arrogant?
Not very good.
Not very good. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you in his time and his way." You see, when we want to exalt ourselves, that's usually when we're defiant and not submissive. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In James chapter 4, I would love to spend time here, but I think we'll skip the next two slides. Could you move forward on the slides for me? Another one, please. And then one more. Okay. So what does submission really mean? The dictionary definition of submission says this: the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Okay, so does that make sense? To be submissive is to accept or yield to a superior, in our case, God. We yield to God. We want to be obedient to him. We yield to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. As believers, we yield to God's authority because he made us and he has the very best in mind for us as believers. And you have to believe that. That by submitting, God will declare his best on your behalf. God says, "I will bless you. You submit, and I will bless you." Do you believe that?
Yes.
In Christ, God has the very best in mind for each believer. His goal is that we would follow in his steps, we would imitate him, we would live for God no matter the cost. Submission is surrender to the will of God. And so God calls all of us to be submissive. And then I just noted a couple of verses that have to do with the blessing of submission. What does God have in store for you? So if you go to the next slide, Mark, there you go, jump there. In submission, you'll find, and this is true, you guys, in submission, you will find abundant life and abundant grace. And I'm just offering that to you. Yeah, peace. If you are defiant, if you are rebellious, if you're unbelieving, and that's the way you act, you're not going to have the sense of abundant life or abundant grace. In this passage of scripture, Jesus says, he says, "I am the door, I am the Savior." And then the highlighted part, he says, "I came that they," that's believers, "followers, might have life and have it abundantly." In Romans 5:17, "For if because of one man's trespass," talking about Adam, "death reigned through that man, much more will those who receive," and you have to submit to God to do that, "the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus." And so I think you can see that connection. So the next slide, humility, submission, and obedience. Those kinds of responses to God, those attitudes of humility, submission, and obedience, they just reap a harvest of joy, of peace, and hope, both in eternity and in the here and now. And so what I really want to do today is I want to challenge you to think about the word submission, that you would be submissive to God, and you would see the value of submitting to each other and caring for each other. In this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, can you click forward there, Mark? Mark, could you open the window right there? That way I can talk to you a little bit better. There you go. Thanks, man. In 2 Peter 1, it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. You be diligent to confirm your calling and election. So to confirm this relationship that you have with God. For if you practice these qualities, in other words, if you submit to them and you obey them, you will, what are the next words there? You will what?
Never fall.
Never fall. That's amazing. For in this way, there will be what? Richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And in verse 12, Peter really just says, I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you. Why does he keep reminding us? We forget. We get off track. Start doing our own thing. Okay, now we come to this passage of Scripture, and I'd like to just walk through this. Colossians chapter 3. And it says this. Mark, if you would. There you go. Colossians chapter 3, it says this. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I wrote, wives, submit to the Lord and to the husband. This is right, and it pleases Christ. Okay? So there is a point where you recognize, and I don't want to lose you, women especially, please track with me. There is blessing in submission. There is blessing in submission for all of us. And we're going to get to the men very specifically in just a couple minutes, and you'll be glad that we do. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So it is a right thing to be submissive. It's an easier thing when the husband is being submissive to God for the wife to be submissive to him. But still, the principle is be submissive. The second part of that verse, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Please just glean from these simple words. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So husbands are to submit to your responsibility to deeply love your wife as Christ. That is a way for you, husband, to submit. God says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you need to submit to that truth. You need to submit to the way that God has called you to love that wife of yours. There's more to it. Love your wife as Christ. Also, choose to be kind and patient and not harsh. These are critical words. In our humanity, we can be unkind and we can be impatient and we can be harsh. Agreed? Men and women can be all of those things. We as people who are God's people, who submit to God, we submit to His Word. His Word says, Jim, be patient with Willie June. Jim, don't be harsh with Willie June. Jim, choose to be kind to Willie June. And that is your responsibility, husbands. And you know what? There is no excuse otherwise. You cannot and will not ever be validated in being impatient, unkind, or harsh. Men, you're wrong if you do that. And you are defiant against God if you treat your wife like that. Take the words of God seriously. You want peace in your home? I mean, how many times do you drive down the road and think, oh, I wish there was peace in my home? You're the key to the peace. Child of God, man of God, wife of God. Children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. Just simply acknowledge that's what God's word says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in everything. This pleases the Lord. So the application is, children, submit to your parents, obey them, serve them, honor them. When you do that, you're submitting to God, you're submitting to your parents, and you are pleasing the Lord. Now, I know we represent enough of life and family and society and harshness and experience that we've all seen these things abused, all of them. But we're being called up. We're being called out. We're being called to be pleasing to God, submissive to God, and submissive to each other. The next slide, please. In Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Some of my kids use this on me at some points. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So, fathers, submit to God by living and acting towards your children in a nurturing, teaching, loving way. Disciplining them, discipling them. What did I put? Did I say that right? Yeah. Okay. Disciplining them appropriately as you train them up to follow Christ, lest you discourage your children. I'll tell you, it is so important as fathers that we have these kind of characteristics stirring in us. By the way, if you don't dwell in the Word of God, and if you don't surround yourself with the fellowship of the church, if you hesitate, you know, I was telling Jenny that, you know, when the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, what happens when we gather as the people of God? We hear the Word of God. We see the people of God. We pray for each other. It just being together supports each other. I mean, you could be watching a football game right now or whatever sport's on. You could be weed eating your yard, and some people might be, but you would be missing what God has instructed the church to do. So in this case, fathers, do not provoke your children. Have you fathers ever thought, man, my kids act provoked? Or kids, have you ever thought, man, my dad's really stirred up about something? Amen. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't need discipline. We're challenged to discipline them, but we're challenged to love them and discipline them in the Lord. Let's move on. Bondservants. And this word actually does, in our context today, fit the bill of employee-employer relationship. When you go to work, the people that you work for, bond servants obey, which is to submit in everything, those who are your earthly masters. And don't fake it. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So, employees, servants, laborers, submit to your employers obediently, honestly, with diligence, with a work ethic, not faking your effort and speaking well of your employer. By the way, if you don't like your employer, quit and find a new job. That or become a better employee, submitting to those who are in authority over you. If you don't like what you're getting paid, then advance your skills and find somewhere where you can get paid more. You know? We're called as the children of God. We're called as the children of God to be submissive. And he says that's the place where blessing will be experienced. Let's go to the next slide. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So again, all believers are to submit in a humble attitude in everything you do. This submission is pleasing to the Lord and shows you truly belong to Christ. Knowing that the reward is from God. That's how this ends up. 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. In all these things, husbands, wives, kids, employees, you are serving the Lord Christ. And that's a wonderful conclusion. All that we do it as unto the Lord. Okay. So there are times where you have done this well, all these kind of things. And there are times where you have been defiant and you've been rebellious and you have not done this well. I believe whenever we interact with a scripture like this, we're being called up again. Okay, Christian, this is what you're called to. You're called to be submissive to Christ, and you're called to be submissive in the relationships here on this planet, especially, Paul says, in the family, husbands, wives, children, and so on. I'm going to skip the next slide. And I just want to go back to a couple simple examples. If you could go forward another slide, please, and one more right here. Just back to the issue of submission. You might not believe this or understand this at first, but all creation lives in submission to God. All creation lives in submission to God. Earth cycles and systems submit to God's design. If they did not submit, the world would destruct. So how is the world submissive? The rotation of the sun and the planets are submissive to God's direction. And if they didn't, we'd be jostled off the earth and that'd be the end of everything. Boundaries of the seas. What if the boundaries of the seas did not submit like the Bible says they do? If the boundaries of the seas, there'd be massive tsunamis everywhere and people would be wiped off. Puerto Vallarta and San Diego and San Francisco wouldn't even exist anymore if the worlds and the creation didn't submit to God's principles. Electrical systems in the body. Just think about how thankful you are that your electrical systems in your body function correctly. And when they don't, what happens? All kinds of crazy things happen when your brain's electrical systems don't function and your heart's electrical systems don't function. God created them, He designed them, and our bodies are submissive by the plan of God, and we are sitting here functioning and thinking, listening, talking, interacting together. Then when we come to marriage, God's systems and ways for relationship lead to peace and joy and happiness. All are to submit to each other. And let's go to the next slide. So the submissive character of the husband to whom the wife is to submit. So here we are, Joyce. This is we're going to talk about the husband submitting. And I love these passages. And these are various passages of Scripture that talk about husbands and wives. And I'd like to just go through them. The submissive husband loves like Christ in the home. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And you know, in our day and age, outside the context of the Bible, women could really bristle at this. The husband's the head. Why is he the head? What does he have to offer? You know? Well, this is the order in which God created, and this is the order in which he blesses. So I'm just going to continue. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Just would you think for a moment, Christ as the head of the church, what did he do for the church? What did he do for the bride? He died. He was sacrificed on her behalf. He served with everything that he had for the church. As the head of the church, he sacrificed, died, and served. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Not how you think of it as the head, but as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So the husband is a sacrificial savior, being the head that nourishes all parts of the family. And so there is to be, in this God-designed relationship of submission, the truth and the understanding that as the husband submits to God, he is going to be nourishing the family. That's good news. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives or his household, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." How is the man to submit to this truth? The husband is a faithful, godly provider, taking care of his family and the extended family. This is godly provision. Men, specifically, we are called to work. We are called to provide. We are called to meet the needs of the people in our family, our wife and our children. To be submissive to God is to be a provider for your family. Sure, there's a lot of ways to talk about how that's worked out, but this is the call of God. The next page, 1 Timothy 3:5. "For if someone does not know how to care, how to manage his household," this is specifically talking about elders and deacons in the church, but the application is to every man. "For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" So the husband is to be a manager, to care for the home and the church in all aspects. We are called to do that. We are called to step up to these places of responsibility. Now, by the grace of God, in the idea of elders and deacons, we're not to do it alone. We're to have a team. We're to have elders and deacons. And we're to have a team to be able to manage the church, working together with our gifts and abilities. But don't miss the fact that as men, as husbands, to be submissive to God, we are to manage and care for our families. I am so blessed every time in coupling a few of these things. It is such a blessing to me, and I don't mean this in any condemning way, but when a family cares for their elderly parents, it is such a joy, and it's a sacrifice for the family to care for an elderly person. And there's times where you get past the point of being able to care for that person at home, and so then maybe you care for them by putting them in a place where they can be cared for, right? But we are not off the hook. We need to care for our households. And by doing that, we're being submissive to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So the husband is a Christ-like head. Men, how does Christ deal with you? Gracious, merciful, caring, supporting," right? Men, you know that as a Christian man. That's how God takes care of you. The man is to sacrificially be the head for his family as well. One more in Titus chapter 2. This is a very beautiful and interesting passage. Titus 2:3 says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior." Okay? I have just explained to you how men are to be reverent in their behavior. In this case, Paul is speaking through Titus to the older women. And it says older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine, Paul says. They are to teach what is good, so they're in a teaching mode in their life, and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children. They are to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and all of those things indicate that the woman is being submissive to God. She's pleasing God with her behavior. And they are to be submissive to their own husbands so that the word of God is not reviled or discredited. You guys, we reflect the mercy of God in this world. We reflect the mercy of God in our homes. And when we are submissive to these things that God has called us to, we reflect Christ in a beautiful way. And we then invite others to see this blessing. I wrote, the word of God is ignored or trashed when the man or woman is defiant instead of submissive to God in the home. Submission accomplishes great blessing in the home. Would you agree? It really does. Let's skip the next slide. There are similar things, but I'd like to move down to this next slide, where it says humility and submission produce good fruit. Very good. God made us. We are made and designed for submission, obedience, humility, and service. God designed us that way. God designed us to have sweet communion with Him. See, by being submissive, by being humble and obedient and serving, we have really good fellowship with God. And that's a beautiful relationship. All right? And as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have perfect unity and communion with each other. You see that in John 17. So I'm not sure I can really describe this very well, but just think of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're never defiant to each other, ever. In fact, in John 15, 16, and 17, Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. An incredibly submissive place, submissive model for us. The Holy Spirit only teaches what the Father and the Son have already spoken. And so you see this incredible unity. You see, you guys, I want, Paul wants, God wants unity in your husband and wife relationship. Let's just narrow it down to that for just a second. And there are times where you have that unity and that fellowship, and it's really sweet. But I'm afraid there are a lot of times where we don't have that unity and that fellowship. And it's hard. We all know it. Good marriage is hard work. Right? God wants us to have unity. Jesus said, I want them to be one like we are one. Right? And that comes with submissive, humble, obedient hearts, willing to live that out on a daily basis. So it says, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. So we are made for these things. That's how God made us. The next little line, please see that right there. It says defiance. Defiance is the fruit of the fall in the garden. Its fruit is unbelief and rebellion and distance and isolation and pain and separation and independence. I'll tell you what, if your home is filled with this, you're a mess. And you know it. And you know how painful it is and how isolating it is and how lonely it is. Defiance started in the garden with Eve, who did not want to obey God. Remember the garden. Satan is the deceiver. You guys remember that. All of us, men, women, kids. Satan is the deceiver. He deceives us. Satan incites in us doubt, offers false benefits, and appeals to our sinful and selfish nature. Right? Not good. I highlighted submission's fruit. And here's, this is really what I'm offering to you. Submission's fruit is freedom and clear conscience and no regret and peace and joy, fellowship, unity and strength. Submission shows that we genuinely understand our relationship of trust toward God and one another. Now, I know that this is probably not where we're all at right now. But I'm offering it to you. God's word is offering it to you. When we come to the passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It is fitting to be submissive. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them," and so on. And you just read through that passage. Just know that the environment that Christian people are to live in is an environment of submission and humility and obedience. It's a beautiful thing when Jesus came and he said, "I came not to be served, but to what? But to serve. And to give my life a ransom for many." So what I'd like to do on the last slide that I'm going to go to today, if you move forward, it's an old hymn that we haven't sung probably for a long time. Can you move forward, whoever's in there? Is there somebody still in there? Okay, go forward for me until this hymn, right there. Okay, here's how this goes. And this, it doesn't say submission in this song, but this song says, "I belong to you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I want to walk in obedience to you," and so on. And it goes like this. "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side." Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you have been merciful and gracious to each person, man, woman, child. God, thank you that you showed us the way, the need for salvation, that we are sinners, and that we are separated from God, and we need that separation to be fixed. And that is only done by putting our faith and trust in God the Son, who is the Savior, Jesus, who went to the cross and died in our place. And if anybody here has never believed in Christ and trusted him, please come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about becoming a Christian. And then, Lord, it says, "Draw me nearer." And in this case, Lord, draw us nearer to understand submission, that we are to be submissive to you and we are to be submissive to each other. And God, in any way that we're defiant, in any way. Help us to own up to it, recognize it, ask forgiveness, and be recommitted to walking in a submissive way with our God and with the people around us. Lord, I pray that this truth won't escape us and that we'll walk out and just forget about this, Lord, but that we would say, God, help me in my attitude to believe you, to trust you, to obey you, to serve you in an attitude of submission. Father, thank you for this wonderful group of brothers and sisters that I get to walk life with. And help us, Lord, as we teach and admonish one another in the word and in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Bless these families, Lord. Bless these homes. Bless these marriages. Help us to maybe talk about these things at home. Read this passage of Scripture. Meditate on it and learn from it so that we can experience the joys that you have in store, that you designed. We pray these things, and together we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.